NFL Week 9 picks, predictions, and betting locks.
With an 80% win rate over the past month, we're literally robbing from the sports books and printing money. In this episode, we have four more locks. This episode of the Beam Pod is presented by BlockBet.
BlockBet offers the best combination of crypto gambling and sports betting, significant bonuses, and has global media branding awareness via their official partnership with the UFC.
Here's how to join BlockBet while receiving the maximum bonus and rewards.
Using our exclusive Beanstalk promo code, you can sign up now and receive a 200% deposit match bonus of up to $500 and 50 free spins on Gates of Olympus.
And if you deposit 50 block or more, you will receive 50 additional free spins on Sweet Bonanza.
We've been making a ton of money using BlockBet, and now you can too. Welcome to Beanstalk Bets. This is Shane, aka Jolly Green.
And this is Josh, aka Nifty.
All right, so we have an 80% win rate on NFL spreads over the last month. And if you bet on football at all, you know how just how difficult that is and how much money can be made with our, you know, unique analysis on games. And guess what? We've got four more guaranteed NFL locks for week 9.
Yeah, I think the industry average for like professional sports bettors is like 60%. And we're doing 20% better than that right now. So stay tuned. We got some epic picks for you, starting with Falcons at home versus the Cowboys.
All right.
What's going on in this game?
I think we got two teams moving in opposite directions here. On one hand, we have the Falcons, who have won 4 of 5. They've put up 26, 36, 38, and 31 points in their wins. And then we have the Cowboys, who have lost 2 in a row, albeit to the Niners and the Lions. But when it comes to the eye test, they just don't look very good, the Cowboys.
No, they don't. Honestly, the Cowboys are a dog trash team. They're so shit. You have Dak Prescott, who just got this giant contract. CeeDee Lamb just got paid. It's almost like these guys got paid and go, all right, I'm done. And you have Mike McCarthy, who literally couldn't coach his way out of a wet paper bag over the past several seasons. I don't know how that guy is still in Dallas. Mm. He should have been fired during the bye week. He's still there. So what do I see? I see Atlanta, who is on a tear right now. You know, Kirk Cousins playing under center a little bit more, where he's more comfortable. That team is moving the ball. Look how he performed against the Buccaneers over those two performances. Something like 800 yards, 8 touchdowns. They got Bijan in the backfield pounding the rock right now. Dallas can't stop anything. So unless D-Law comes back out of nowhere or Micah Parsons comes back and plays, I think that the Atlanta offense will be able to move the ball quite handily. Mm. I think Dallas are going to struggle. I see a few of their cornerbacks getting in arguments with the Cowboys are getting in arguments with the press. Mm. It just seems like there's a lot of things happening in the locker room that are taking away from what the organization is trying to accomplish. They don't have a running back. They got Zeke from fucking 2015.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's such an easy offense to shut down, mm-hmm. and Atlanta has just too many offensive weapons. By 2.5, this seems like a no-brainer at home.
Yeah, so the matchups I'm looking at is Atlanta's top 5 passing offense, which is red hot right now. The combination, as you said, of Cousins with London and Pitts and Mooney and Ray McCloud. These guys are moving the ball at will on teams. Top 5 passing offense, Dallas has a bottom 10 passing defense. So that's the matchup I'm keying in on. I think those guys are going to have another field day like they did against the Bucs last week, like they did against the Bucs. Like, they scored 5 touchdowns. These guys are on fire. The Dallas pass defense allows a league-high yards per catch of 11.8 yards. So Dallas is allowing the most big plays through the air out of any team in the NFL, and Atlanta has been thriving with big plays. Atlanta's been throwing the ball deep. Dallas also has a bottom 5 run defense. Like, these guys can't stop the ball in any way. Atlanta, you know, it's been a little bit disappointing how they still haven't really gotten Bijan going. They give Algier too many carries, I think.
Yeah.
But they still have a decent run defense. And I just think there's big mismatches there. Atlanta's defense, their weak spot is through the air. So I do think Dak and CeeDee will have a good day. But outside of Dak and CeeDee, they just don't have any weapons. Yeah, like you said, they've got no one at running back. They've got this Tolbert guy, wide receiver. He's okay, but they're just...
Dak tossed up a nice ball to him too. I think he dropped on the sideline. Like, it's just, they're not reliable weapons.
They're not reliable. I think the Falcons can smell opportunity here in their division with the Bucs losing their key wide receivers. The Falcons can smell blood in their division. They're going to take control and win games coming down the stretch here through the middle of the season. and win the NFC South, which is exactly what we predicted at the start of the year.
Yeah, and I also predicted that Dallas's defense would be nothing without Dan Quinn. That guy, I think, was a motivator. He's an excellent play caller. Look at how Washington's performing. No Dan Quinn, no defense.
Yeah, 100%. So we are taking the Falcons as our first lock by 2.5 against the Cowboys. All right, let's move to another NFC East matchup. The Washington Commanders versus the New York Giants. What are we thinking here?
Okay, this is a conference game, an NFC East conference game. So typically these matches do tend to be semi-close. And, you know, fair enough. But when you watch the way the Giants play and you watch the way the Commanders play, what are, these teams are so completely different. You have one fan base that is rallying behind the quarterback, in love with him. You have another fan base, an organization that is honestly like pretty much throwing tomatoes at Daniel Jones. You know, it's just not, it's not a team that's set up for success.
No.
From an organizational perspective, I look at a team in Washington that is a top four in every offensive category right now. The Giants are almost dead last in every category. Washington's putting up 100 yards more per game than the Giants. They're putting up 15 points per game more than the Giants. They have a nearly 50% conversion rate on third downs. Man, how the hell do you stop Washington when you have an offense that can't do anything on the Giants' side of the ball?
Yeah.
You know, to be only 3.5 point favorites, this doesn't make any sense to me.
No, it really doesn't make sense to me. It, I think maybe people are thinking it's like a, some sort of trap game. But on one side, you have the Commanders who are 6-2, coming off an emotional win with Jaden Daniels returning at the last minute in that crazy Hail Mary, and he'll in theory be a little bit healthier for this game. Then you have the Giants who are 2-6, can't do anything right. They just lost to the Steelers on Monday night, which means they have one day less of rest. The only bright spot for the Giants in that game was this Tyrone Tracy guy who got a concussion, so he's not going to be playing. The Giants, I mean, I think the playbook here for the Commanders is set. They already beat the Giants by 3 earlier in the year in Jaden Daniels' first NFL win, but I think the Commanders are a much better team than they were in week 2. I think they're really growing into themselves. The playbook here, it's I think it's going to be very similar to what we just saw the Steelers do to the Giants on Monday Night Football. The Giants give up a league-high 5.4 yards per carry on the ground. The Commanders have one of the best run games in the league.
Yeah.
Between Brian Robinson, Austin Eckler, and Jaden Daniels on the ground, they're going to do the same thing that the Steelers just did on Monday night. They're going to pound the ball. They're going to run the clock out. They're not going to give the ball to Daniel Jones. Not that he's too much of a threat, but I just don't think that the Giants have any near the defensive capacity to stop this run game. Jaden Daniels does need to play hero, just like Russell Wilson didn't have to play hero last night. I think it's going to be a carbon copy. I think the Steelers won that game by like 9-10 points. I think the Commanders are going to go into New York. Commanders are 6-1-1 against the spread.
Yeah.
People are continuing to fade the Commanders. The Giants are 2-5-1 against the spread. The Giants are 0-4 at home. One team stinks. One team's great. I think the Commanders definitely cover the spread here at 3, 3.5, whatever it is. I think they win this game by a touchdown.
Yeah, my favorite coach, Dan Quinn, too, also coaching Washington. He's played a ton of games against the Giants. He knows how to handle it. So we like the Commanders there as 3.5-point favorites.
100%.
Just so you know, you guys know, we are making these bets on BlockBet. We do have a referral link in the description. These are odds that can't get matched anywhere else when you do the parlays. We've done comparisons. We've made the exact same bets on Bet365, done on BlockBet. This BlockBet is literally paying you hundreds, if not thousands of dollars more than any other platform due to their bet boost that they offer, which is, it's like an incredible boost.
Yeah, for sure. And because we're partnered with them, our 4 weekly locks every single week, when you combo them up into one multi-bet boost, you get, so if you bet $100 and pick all 4 of these games on BlockBet, you'll get, for example, $2,000.
Yeah.
But if you use Bet365 or DraftKings, you might only get $1,500. So you're literally leaving money on the table by using any other sports betting platform. So get onto BlockBet, use our link in the description. You get a crazy bet bonus, bet deposit bonus as well.
Yeah, it's up to like $5,000 or something.
Yeah, for
sure. Free money. All right, next game, we have the Rams on the road in Seattle. Originally, I think earlier in the week, the Rams were underdogs. And we liked them as underdogs, but the lines have shifted a little bit. Now they're 1.5 point favorites.
Yeah, 1.5 point favorites. Like, I got to say, when the Rams are healthy, they're one of my favorite teams to watch. I love watching this offense with Stafford, Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp, and Kyren Williams. Man, these guys are hard to stop. And it's funny because a week or two ago, they were like, oh, they're gonna, their season's over. They're going to trade Kupp. Then both guys come back. They look great against the Vikings. They beat the Vikings in a big upset there. And all of a sudden, they're a contender in the wide-open NFC West, right? Which makes this NFC West game a very, very big game. The Seahawks are trending in the opposite direction. The Seahawks had a bit of a nice start. People are like, oh, maybe, you know, Geno Smith, these guys are looking good. Now, they've lost 4 or 5. Metcalf's banged up. He's their wide receiver 1. They've looked pretty abysmal. They got blown out by the Bills. They lost to the Giants, the game that you were at. Like, the Seahawks are not looking so good. So I'm not sure about them here. I think I like the Rams.
DK's out there with a MCL sprain. I'm not sure whether or not he's going to be back. They have Tyler Lockett, a guy who's like, I don't know, ancient receiver. He's got no speed. Then you look at the Rams, who just brought back two of their star-studded weapons at wide. This team looks so different, don't they? Mm-hmm. So Kyren Williams, heading into that game, had 80% of the team's touchdowns.
Yeah.
Here come the two weapons. Boom, Matthew Stafford, 4 touchdowns.
Yep.
It's a different offense, man. They can actually run the offense they are meant to run. Mm. I look at the Seahawks. They are on that downtrend, like you mentioned, losing 4 of the past 5 games by 21 points, by 12 points, by 9 points, by 13 points. Mm. This is a 1.5-point spread, and you have a team that's on the uptrend now. I think the Rams are who we need to be looking at here. Look, the Seahawks don't even have a run game. Who was their leading rusher last game? It was Geno Smith with 16 yards, bro.
Wow.
So Kenneth Walker, he's not getting it done in his past 4 games. 19 yards, 32 yards, 69, and 12. Mm. So they're not moving the ball.
No.
And so if DK is messing with this MCL sprain, man, I think he hammered the Rams here.
For sure. So some of the matchups that I'm keying in on here, well, when you look at the Rams stats, you have to put a bit of an asterisk on it because they haven't had their team healthy except for the last game. So I kind of got to use that game as more of an example than like their season worthy of stats, because when you look at their season stats, it says, oh, they can't run the ball very well, but that's because they had no wide receivers most of the year. So, and even saying that, Kyren Williams has been averaging around 100 yards a game, but now when you have these receivers that are going to open up the field, I think Kyren Williams is actually going to be able to run the ball a lot easier. His yards per carry is going to go up because people can't stack the line, because now you have Puka and Kupp, and the Seahawks have a terrible run defense. One of their bottom 5 run defense. I think Kyren's going to have a field day. The passing defense for Seahawks started as like a top 5 unit for the first few weeks, but has not been good as they've lost 4 or 5. The passing defense has been a bit exposed as well. And then when you look at the other side of the ball, the matchups, I like this as well for the Rams. So the Seahawks' strength is their number 1 passing game in terms of yards, attempts, and completions, because they're just airing the ball out because they don't have a run game. But the Rams have a top 10 pass defense in those same volume stats. The Rams' defense weakness is actually their run game, but the Seahawks' weakness is their run game. So you have strength against strength, strength against weakness. I think all of these matchups, to me, favor the Rams. And, I mean, look at how the Rams played against the Vikings last week. Their defense did not look great in the first half, but they made some adjustments. And they tightened up, and they beat the Vikings. Now you got the Seahawks, who are not as good as the Vikings. And with the Rams as only a 1.5 favorite, I think they sense this opportunity in the NFC West. I think they win this game for sure.
Absolutely. So let's move on to maybe what is considered the best team in football right now. Mm. They're getting it done offensively, defensively, and on special teams. We're talking about the Lions. I think, what are we taking in this game?
This is probably the game of the week. I mean, this is a
Lions versus Packers.
Yeah, Lions-Packers, NFC North battle. You got Lions, or what are they, 7-1? Packers are 6-2. Lions are looking like a Super Bowl favorite. Packers keep winning games. But the way that these teams are winning games is different, right? The Lions are pummeling teams into the ground. 5 wins in a row, they put up 42, 47, 31, 52 points. Very, very impressive.
Crazy.
The Packers, they've still been winning, but it took 2 last-second field goals in the last 2 games for them to win, and a close win against the Rams without Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua. So they're not exactly pummeling teams like the Lions. Now, Jordan Love is questionable in this game with a groin injury. So we don't know if it's going to be Love or Malik Willis. They have shown the ability to move the ball with Malik Willis, but for me, it doesn't matter who's behind center for the Packers, because the Lions, with their top 5 run game, their top 10 pass game, they can't be stopped. The Packers' defense is a little bit weak in stopping the pass. So even if they are able to bottle up Gibbs and Montgomery a little bit, I think that Goff and his insane completion percentage with Amon-Ra St. Brown, Laporta, and Williams, I think they're going to have a field day. I just don't think the Packers have enough to keep up with the Red Hot Lions.
In Detroit's last 6 games, they have 25 touchdowns and only 19 incompletions.
It's crazy.
Bro, there's teams that have 19 incompletions in one game. It's like when you have a dual threat at the running back position, that is very difficult for teams to stop. One, you know, is super fast, one kind of pounds a rock. Both of them can stay healthy and fresh the entire game. That wears defenses down. So you have to have, you know, 8 guys in the box. But you have some weapons at wide, and you have Goff, who's just, you know, a precision machine right now. I think he went 18 for 18 against Dallas in one of the games earlier this season, which is incredible.
It's insane.
You know, this is, in their last game, they had 262 yards in return yards. 4 passing touchdowns. Then you had their defense, 2 fumble recoveries and 2 interceptions.
Yep.
This is literally a team that can do it all. Green Bay, they lost their safety, Evan Williams. He suffered a hamstring injury. Mm. Right after that, in the second half, Trevor Lawrence was able to rack up 200 yards. Right. So if this safety's not playing, who's an all-star, then I really see Goff being able to tee off on this team.
Yeah, and the Packers, I mean, the Packers' strength, as much as I do like Love and their young wide receivers, the Packers' strength this year has been their run game with Josh Jacobs. But guess what? The Lions have a top 10 ranked rush defense to counter the Packers' top 5 run offense. So I see the Packers' strength meeting another strength in the Lions. And then I see the Lions' strength in their passing and running game overpowering the Packers' defense, as you said, that is kind of banged up. I think this is a huge divisional matchup. And I'm just taking the more talented, the hotter, the healthier team in the Lions to beat the Packers. I know it's in Green Bay, but I think the Lions win this game by 4 or 5 points for sure.
I think anytime you see a spread of at least 6.5 and under for Detroit, you take the bet. Because right now they're putting up a league best 33.4 points per game. They're only allowing 19 points per game. Mm. They're winning by an average of 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, that's crazy.
14 points per game. This is a spread of only 4. This is a Lions team that I like, and that's who we're taking.
Yeah, for sure. Not to mention their special teams. Their special teams are making play. Wild.
It's nuts, bro.
Yeah, it's they're a very, very impressive looking team, the Lions. So yeah, those are our 4 weekly locks. We have the Lions over the Packers. We have the Falcons over the Cowboys. We have the Commanders over the Giants. What was the 4th one?
We got the Rams over the Seahawks.
Rams over the Seahawks. I like that. Honestly, I think our confidence is extremely high. We've been on an absolute heater taking these. And you know, the way that we play this, just so we should be fully transparent, not only am I betting, like I'm taking all 4 of these at our
the combo block boost.
Bet combo boost with the 15% odds, I'm also betting on these games individually. Mm. So, you know, if we go 3 for 4, I'm still making money, right? Yep. So say I put $100 on each game as its own.
Yeah.
You know, usually it's a 2-to-1 with the spread. And then I'm going to put another 100 or whatever on the 4. That way, if I win 3 out of 4 and I lose 1 and I lose the combo, I'm still at the green.
Yeah.
Right? I think that's the smart way to bet it.
A very smart way of doing it. Because if you do hit that combo boost, that's a home run.
Mm-hmm.
Put $100 down, win 2,000.
Yep.
You know, put $100 on the 4 games individually.
Yep.
You're still going to walk with like $200 to $300.
It's a net profit.
Net profit. For sure. So that's how we're playing it. Those are our picks for this week. Like we've said, we have an amazing accuracy over the past month. We're going to try to continue it again this week and the weeks following. So make sure you subscribe, like this episode, and tune into the next episode.
Because that one is going to be a banger.